Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that this people here in this church is so interested in missions and involved in the lives of our missionaries. And tonight, as I just have felt led to share some of Susie Smith's story, I pray for your direction and your blessing, and I thank you so much for your work of grace in her life. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of verses on Lord's leading, because I want to talk a little bit about God's leading in our lives to be where we should be, but also then how God has led this young lady in her life. In Psalm 25, verse 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord." This is the Psalm of David. "Teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." A couple other verses. "The meek will he guide in his judgment, the meek will he teach his way." Verse 12, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." Verse 14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." I further just remind us something out of Ephesians chapter 1 concerning our lives and the way ahead in each of our lives as his children. In chapter 1, in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, being predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And so what God is wanting to do in the lives that will come to him, he planned out before he made the worlds. And a very familiar verse, but in 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So as a child of God, every one of us is his workmanship, and he has a plan to work out in our lives what he planned for us way back before he made the world, according to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to tell you, first of all, why I decided to do this. On our mantle in Lee's Summit, I have a poem that Susie, now Susie, I think most everybody here knows that. Susie and Leonard are missionaries with Baptist Bible Fellowship in Culiacan, Mexico. And what we see, what she does so much is to prepare lessons and go out into the villages. And under a tree, they may have 30 kids come together. And a lot of these children are accepting Christ. she works hard with visuals and all of that. So they're very active down there in Culiacan. And of course, every chance that Leonard has, he preaches as well. She wrote this to me, and I, one way, hate to share it, but because it talks about me, but it helps you know kind of her heart. She writes, "Man of God, O man of God, you give your life to live and serve the Lord, and I, for one, am glad you chose to teach his word. I was a child far from home, so lost, literally. Yet God reached down his hand on you, and then he spoke to me. Through his word, my heart was changed as I stepped on the train. O man of God, my guide to him, for I am born again. As a babe in Christ, so patiently you taught me his word in truth, that I might grow and know him more in the days of my youth. Much older now, the years are gone by for the teacher and the taught, but what the Lord has lovingly done shall ne'er be forgot. You know it's true that serving him has never been in vain, for many souls have come to him by getting on the train. My grateful heart can never express, so may God your life reward, O man of God, spiritual father of mine, your daughter in the Lord. of course, that was super blessing to get that from her. But I want to back up a little bit just to tell a little bit what it was like coming to teach in a Christian school. In our part of the world where I grew up, I think the only Christian schools I knew, at least locally, were some Catholic schools. There were parochial schools. But I had the opportunity to come down and teach at Central Christian. And if you know anything about it, if you decide to do that, to teach in a Christian school, you're going to do a lot more than teaching. My first year, I didn't have my credentials, so I spent that first year getting my credentials in Wichita and in McPherson and in Salina, and I practiced taught 2 or 3 hours in McPherson Public School, and then I came back and taught all day. And Mr. Grubbs, who was the principal, said, "I have a place where you can stay." And I said, "Good." It's a boys' dorm, so I supervised the boys' dorm. And then about the next thing he did, well, I met Mary, and that was interesting. but he said he had us direct the senior class play. Never directed a class play before. Got me involved in printing. And that first year almost did me in, to be sure. But on the last day after commencement, we had our wedding rehearsal and got married the next day. And so a lot of that year also was by Christmas, we were engaged. Well, it was by your birthday, I think. And so then we had a year. 1 year went by as a new married couple teaching. But then I was confronted with, we'd really like you two to be in the girls' dorm, to supervise the girls. If you know anything about Central Christian, it used to be in third story of that big building there on Chemical Street, but they moved a house to the new location now up there on 30th, put a big basement under it, and there'd be about 16 girls, I think, teenage girls. And so I thought about it, and then I talked to her, and I've told you this before, but she cried. She was expecting our first son, Roger, in September, and we were starting in the end of August, and it looked difficult. But she's been so helpful through the years and said, "Oh, okay." We prayed about it, and she always tells me, if you say we're going to pray about it, that means we're going to do it. But not necessarily, but anyway. So we were in this girls' dorm and taking care of those girls. And at the time, I think they were feeding the girls and the guys together down at the school. But it was a lot of responsibility. And I've told you this before, but I'll say it again. I thought the boys kept their rooms pretty neat. And I just told her, "Boy, it's going to be great. These girls will keep their rooms so neat." And I was never so wrong. I told her, "We don't need to inspect their rooms. These girls, they'll keep their rooms nice." She said, "You don't know what you're talking about." She was so right. Anyway, we started having inspection in the rooms. Susie came in the middle of a year, and I just had the thing that impressed me in her life was that she early on got saved. We thought she was saved. She addresses this in some of the things she's shared with us. But to quickly want to be a missionary, coming out of a background where she didn't know about missions, and so I just wanted to pass on kind of her story, and some of it I'll just share what she has. I told her I was going to share her story, or I told her husband, and if she could send me some information to help fill in some of the things that maybe I didn't know. And what she sent was very emotional for us, just thinking back. But the interesting thing is that her husband, Leonard, said she has been so emotional all week, thinking back over it and how God worked. But he said in a good way. And anyway, I share that with you. And she starts out saying, lost. My freshman year, I was more concerned. This is now in the Branson area, I think the Branson school system, really. I was more concerned with being popular than studies. I became baton twirler for a high school band. I became alternate cheerleader. I became worse at math. I had my first real date my freshman year to the homecoming dance with a boy that he was a football player in my brother's class. I like boys, but I was pretty immature, nothing ever serious, thank the Lord. My friends from junior high were all becoming wilder and doing stuff that I was not comfortable being a part of. But I wasn't really sure how to get myself out of it. After all, they were cool. Note to grandkids. A lot of this she's been writing up for her grandchildren about her life. It is never cool to do wrong. By the middle of my sophomore year, with my grades slipping, my parents wanted to travel. Dad decided that he would like to find a boarding school to put me in, preferably one that would make me apply myself more to my studies and less to extracurricular activities. I rather liked the idea of a new start away from where I was, although I did not relate that to my friends at school. Dad applied for information in Missouri and surrounding states for boarding schools. The information returned contained parochial schools and two Christian schools in Kansas. Because we attended a Christian church, Dad thought it'd be worth to check those two schools out, and so when he went pheasant hunting in Kansas, northwest of here, he stopped by both places to get more information. He returned home by liking one school over the other, because one school sent the boarding students to people's homes on the weekends. That he did not like. We began to fill out the application form. There was one question on the form that puzzled us. Have you had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? We did not know what to put down. Mother talked with the pastor at our church, and he said, mark yes, because she has been baptized. The application was sent in, and so all the time as we looked over the application, I just understood Susie was coming as a believer. The Lord was working all along. There was one space available in the girls' dorm because one of the girls had been expelled. I was accepted. I was excited and scared. This would get me away from all the things that I was too weak-willed to separate myself on my own. Yet it would be my first time to live away from my home. What would it be like? Packed up with my new Snoopy bedspread and new towels, we were off to Kansas. It was January. It was cold. There was some snow on the ground. As we pulled up to the school, I got very nervous. I was concerned about the Bible classes. Dad's words will never be forgotten. Don't worry, a little Bible won't hurt you. That's what he had to say to her. We drove over to the old two-story farmhouse that was the girls' dorm. I don't remember who I met first. It must have been Mary or Mr. Neer. I'm not sure now. But one thing was sure, none of the girls in the dorm were very happy to meet me. I was shown to my room in the basement and met Gloria, my roommate. She seemed to tolerate me, and that was about it. Only one girl was friendly, Debbie Johnson. That would be Don's sister. She was very talkative and helped me settle in. I realized very pretty quick that everyone had not really liked that everyone had really liked the girl that had been expelled, and they did not see me as a replacement. And so first a sense of being lost, nobody wanted me. Girls, and a lot of this, we really didn't know what she was, she didn't open up what she was going through on a lot of that. Girls from school that lived in Hutch just happened to show up at the dorm to check me out, some kind of new puppy. Only as teens are, it was more of a size up the new girl to see if she will be any competition strategy. Either way, I felt like a freak. At school, it was pretty much more of the same. I was just trying to adapt to the rules of classes. I felt totally out of place. She talked about a boy that would visit with her, and they talked about motorcycles, and the next day, his girlfriend confronted him and said, "Stay away from my boyfriend." I was sad and homesick. I found out about a place at the school where I could go and be alone. It was called the prayer room. During study hall, you could get a pass to go to the prayer room and pray. I started getting passes to go to the prayer room and cry. At the girls' dorm, things went from bad to worse with my roommate. There was another girl, and I won't explain everything she said, that was saying bad things about her to Gloria. And she says it now. Gloria and her are the dearest of friends, and they are two gals from the dorm that just pray for us all the time. And it was causing all kinds of problems with her. That combined with the fact that we were called upon by name to pray before each meal, this was new to me. I mean, I had prayed before, but the two prayers I knew both rhymed, and I realized very quickly that no one else prayed like that. What if they would call on me? What on earth would I do? I would break out in a cold sweat every time. I was miserable. I was lost. Not only that, but we went to church three times a week. And she put that in caps. I had Bible classes and we had chapel every day. I didn't mind. It was just new to me. One day in Bible class, we were asked to write down what we would say to someone who had just been in a car accident and was dying. How would we tell them how they could be saved? I had no idea what I wrote on that paper, but I'd sure love to see it now. Bottom line, I was lost in more ways than one. Oh yeah, and to top it off, I'd been fairly spoiled at home. That would be with caps. I knew how to do some things, but washing dishes, making my bed, doing laundry, ironing, were not my forte. All of which now I was on my own were responsibilities that I was not exactly enjoying at once. I thought maybe if I don't eat, I won't have to do dishes. Nope, that didn't work. I had a top bunk, as making a bed isn't hard enough. A top bunk took forever, at least in my mind. So I decided I would just sleep on the top of my bed, already made, and just smooth it out a little bit in the morning before school. Mary got smart to that and would come down and unmake my bed so that I would have to learn how to do it. She did. She just tore it all apart. An act that I can appreciate now more than I probably did then. I won't even mention the bathroom situation and major adjustments that was. Again, lost. Finally, after a month of this new uncomfortable life and feeling lost, I was right where I needed to be then. God brought the snow. It snowed so much that we could not get to church one Wednesday night. Mr. Neer decided to have a meeting with us girls in the study room. He was going to show us how to lead someone to Christ. And I remember what I did. I decided to go through the Navigator Bridge and how to do that with someone. And then the next title says, Saved by Grace, I Got on the Train. He began talking and I began listening. He shared scriptures, visibly presented just what my heart needed to hear. With each scripture, I saw myself a sinner, lost, utterly lost, but Jesus loved me me, and died for me, me. Mr. Neer gave the train illustration about faith, believing that a train will be at a station at a certain time, seeing the train coming, and yet if we do not get on the train, we will not get to where it is going. Then he presented Revelation 3:20 and let us know that Jesus wants to come in and save us, but we must open the door and let him in. He will not break down the door, he knocks. When Mr. Neer prayed to dismiss the session, I prayed and I asked Jesus to come in. I went to my bedroom and I got on my bunk and I laid there and I couldn't stand it. I had to tell someone what I did. But what did I do? How do you say it? I got down and went upstairs and knocked on the Neer's door. Mr. Neer came to the door. What do you want, Susie? All I could say was, I got on the train. He invited me in, talked to me, and helped me to understand that I can know that I'm saved because the Bible says so. That night, my life and destiny changed forever. I'll forever be grateful to Mary and Mr. Neer for being my Christian parents, for teaching me the way of salvation. Not only that, but they helped me to grow so much as a new Christian. I'm forever thankful to the Lord for putting me in a place where I felt totally lost and for bringing me the snow and then speaking to my heart about his love and salvation. The truth came to light about the dorm girl that was creating problems between myself and my roommate, and by God's love and grace, Gloria became my dearest, sweetest friend, and my new life in Christ began with the Neers as my spiritual parents and with my sister in Christ, Gloria. I was excited about what the Lord had done for me. I wanted others to know Jesus too. I had no clue how to go about it. Mr. Neer took me as he witnessed to a couple and my learning began. I was very burdened, most of all, about my own family. I wanted to make sure that they would go to heaven too. I am sure I talked to them some on the phone, but it wasn't till summertime that I would get more opportunities to do that. And I just want to say that, and Susie wouldn't mind me saying this because I think she'll probably listen to this, that her dad was not too happy about her marrying a missionary because he figured she would always be poor. And but because of her coming to Christ, he accepted Christ before he died. She was able to minister to him and bring him to put his trust in Christ, praise the Lord. Every day, every devotion, every Bible class, every church service, every life experience, the Lord was with me, teaching me, helping me to grow in him. I was so very thankful for this new life in him. And then this next part is called to the mission field, and this is one of the reasons that I think it's so neat to first come to Christ and then for God to give you that desire even to be a missionary. It wasn't too terribly long after that I trusted the Lord that we had a mission emphasis month at chapel at Central there with visiting missionaries to speak. One lady that God greatly used to speak to my heart was Martha Phillips, an older missionary lady who for many years later, I would always have it in my memory that she was a missionary to Africa, when actually she had originally gone to China, then Mexico, and later to many other foreign fields, one of them possibly the last one being Ghana. Regardless, at that precious moment in time when I had only been a Christian for a short time, my heart was tender, and it was then that the Lord allowed my eyes to be opened to the fact that there were still many places in the world that did not have opportunities to hear the gospel that we have in our country. I asked to chat with her after chapel, and what a wonderful time it was. Among other many things that were talked about regarding missions, she shared with me a very personal time in her life that as I look back now, I realize why. She had given her heart to the Lord as a child, and she grew, as she grew, knew God wanted to call her to be a missionary. She had a young man that she loved, and who was a good Christian and who also shared the desire to be a missionary. Until one day he didn't. He decided to remain a doctor in the U.S. Martha made a decision to make, follow the Lord, or the decision was clear. And after 3 years of engagement, she decided to remain single and follow God's leadership, which she clearly did not regret. Between the Lord using Martha Phillips and certain scriptures, it became clear to me that being a missionary is what God had for my life. So one day I was walking in the wheat field behind the girls' dorm towards a grove of trees, and a sweet Kansas breeze was blowing. And at that moment, I told the Lord that I would go wherever he wanted me to go and do whatever he wanted me to do. From that moment on, I knew without a doubt that I would be a missionary to share the gospel in a foreign land. Beyond that, I had little idea of what all would be ahead. She talks about that I attended Westside Baptist Church in Hutchinson, along with some other dorm girls, and at the time, missionaries would come to the church, and I was so amazed at their speaking abilities and talents, and quickly, I began to think that God had made a huge mistake calling me. It would take years for me to learn that God only wants a willing, trusting heart. He will do the rest. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I am just a vessel. He works through me, and many times in spite of me. Time and again in my weakness and frailty, he has shown me his faithfulness, strength, wisdom for the task at hand. She goes on to tell then in her second year at Central Christian, she began to date a fellow, and she says it was a teenage love, but it was so important to her at the time. He was a wonderful man of integrity, wit, humor, very smart, wonderful singing voice, and he would be my boyfriend for the rest of high school, and we would enter the same college together, Baptist Bible College in Springfield. We were both taking missions courses, and one day he informs me he's going to do something else in business. I think Martha Phillips' words returned to my brain like a whirlwind. I knew that I must make the same decision that she did. To follow the Lord is the only thing in this life that will matter. And though not yet engaged as Martha was, I broke off the relationship and felt this scary, empty feeling. And the only thought that permeated my brain was, I'm going to be a single missionary to Africa. She goes on, and I'll just share a little bit about it. She felt sad that she was going to be a single missionary, but she was happy that she would be able to serve the Lord. Well, Leonard was also going to Baptist Bible College, and she says he was a little flirty. They worked together in the cafeteria. And one time she needed to get a ride to the, I think it's to the airport. And somehow he knew. He said, I'll give you that ride. Anyway, things began to, they became good friends. And ultimately, she said, I understood that he grew up in a missionary family. His family was missionaries, and his whole family involved in missions in Mexico. And long story short, he asked her to marry him, asked her to marry him, and they became a missionary team, and they've been serving the Lord down there in Culiacan ever since. And I shared this morning that she is so committed as to continue to serve there, if that's where. But my thought was, I said, where are you going to retire to? And she said, I'm going to be buried right here in Culiacan. They just love those children there, and they have so many wonderful results of people coming to Christ through his ministry and her ministry, especially with children. And I just, to me, it stands as an example of what God had in mind to get her where she could hear the gospel, that she would respond, and that she had a tender heart to be called to missions. And so I just thank God for the example of how he works and how he puts people together at the right time. And I think it became so important to her to feel so lost before hearing the opportunity to have Jesus as her Savior. And it helped her open the door to that. So she's just one of those things that God orchestrates bringing together for his glory and how he leads. And talked this morning a little bit about fruit, where he just knows where to put us. And I just have to thank God that Mary was willing, that she didn't rise up and say, I am not going to be a dorm mom. Another thing that happened out of that, it taught us how to deal with girls. The four girls we had, we learned some lessons ahead of time. I would say something else about the dorm, too. When we went in there, I had this idea, this will be our place and this will be their place. And that only lasted 1 week. I saw that wasn't working. So I let them know our home is your home. They're away from home. They're teenage girls away from their home. They needed parents. And so I just praise God for what he's done in Susie and Leonard's life. And I'd just like to stop and pray for them right now as they continue to minister in Culiacan. It's not a very safe place. When the Lord gave us the opportunity to go down there after her mom died, I told them how important it was. Somebody just a block down the street was shot, I think that one morning. I said, we need to do a prayer walk around this area for your protection. And Leonard was happy to do that with me. And so God's been protecting them. Yeah, both Susie and Gloria are dear friends and stay in touch, and they both have celebrated their 50th anniversary. So time moves on, but praise God for what he does. Father, I just want to stop right here and thank you for your work of grace in Susie's life. I remember the day of meeting her dad and talking to him about what it would be like for her to be there, and his decision to leave her there to hear a little bit of Bible. And we thank you that he has trusted Christ in home with you. Thank you for all these ones down the line that have come to Christ because of a decision to be faithful. Bless their ministry, continue to give them what they need, protect them there in Culiacan. And I just thank you, Lord, for this testimony of how you worked in this young girl's life to raise up a missionary. I thank you for Martha Phillips and the testimony of her commitment to even break off an engagement because you'd called her to the mission field. Lord, you know what you're doing in all of our lives, and we just pray that even this testimony would encourage us along the way as we walk with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.